And I'd like to welcome those who are visiting with us as well. We hope that you are felt welcome. We're honored to have you here. If you have a question about what we do here or the lesson, be free to ask myself or one of the members. We'll try to assist you every way possible. I was asked to preach a sermon by a young man on inspiration. And so I'll probably do that at the beginning of next year. And I want you to do me a favor. Actually, I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to pick out, I'm talking about all you kids, young people and older people, I want you to pick out somebody out of the Old or New Testament besides Jesus Christ. I want you to pick somebody out of the Old or New Testament that has been an inspiration to you, that has inspired you in some way. So please do that and give it to me, or you can send me an email or write it down, and for the next few weeks, give it to me so I can put it, and I'm going to categorize all these together, and I'm going to bring that list out a little bit before I preach that sermon on inspiration. So somebody from the Bible, Old or New Testament, that has inspired you, okay? And send that to me through email or write it down for me. Thank you. And I was asked to preach another lesson, today's lesson, by another young man. I don't see him. Where's he at? There you are. Okay. And so he came up to me and said, would you preach a lesson on baptism? You know, I wanted to preach something a little bit different than what we normally do on baptism. And I'll bring that out just in a minute. Clifton, if you can, I don't see a link up there, so you have that link. Oh, got a little fancy on me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you, Clifton. Death is so sobering. I don't know if I could preach this lesson because I just lost my sister in law. I knew I was going to have a hard time teaching this lesson because of this particular video, but I did it for a purpose. When you think about death, why is it so sobering to us? Because it's so final. We know that we'll never see that person again in this world. We know that we'll never talk or hold their hand and spend any quality time with them again in this life. And that's why it's so sobering to me. But I brought out this particular video because the Bible describes our baptism as a death. And I'm going to talk about the old man being buried and the new man coming from the grave. And we're going to talk about that death quite a bit this morning. Kenny Chesney has a song called Baptism. I'm just going to read a couple of lyrics. The summer breeze made ripples on the pond, rattle through the reeds and the willow trees beyond. Daddy in his good hat, Mama in her Sunday dress, watched with pride as I stood there in the water up to my chest. And the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. I sank my toes into the East Tennessee mud. And it was down with the old man and up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore, but I felt like a newborn baby cradled up in the arms of the Lord. You know, a lot of times when we talk about baptism, we usually refer to baptism like the mode of baptism. We talk about immersion. We also talk about like the purpose of baptism. But what I want to do this morning, I want to look at the old man being buried and the new man coming forth from the grave. Because the Bible says that's exactly what we do when we are baptized, immersed into the death of Jesus Christ. That we are burying the old man with our Lord in baptism. And we're resurrecting as a new creature in Jesus Christ. What does that really mean when you think about the old man being buried? In fact, what does it mean, down with the old man and up with the new? You know, when I thought about preparing this lesson, I was with my granddaughter, and she was going with me in a gospel meeting, and she played all kinds of music while we were driving for about 12 hours. And she played this particular song over and kind of over. And I thought, wow, I wanted to do a lesson for this young man, but I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. But when I listened to those lyrics, I said, I've got the idea. When's the last time we ever heard a lesson about burying the old man? And up comes the new. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Again, we can know and learn everything about baptism. We've talked about baptism. The Bible teaches about how it's an immersion, how and why we're baptized, and the purpose behind it. All these scriptures bring out that we are to obey the commands of God. We're saved by past sins to obtain the remission of sins. And all these things are true. But really, what does it mean in the understanding about baptism? I see no logic between me getting baptized in water and my sins forgiven. Do you see any logic in that? I don't. None. The logic lies in the fact that God commanded it. But then the Bible gives us an example, and it refers to our baptism, Romans 6, as a burial. You ever think about that? The old man being buried. You ever think about burial? When you're buried, that's it. You're completely covered. You'll never be the same again in this life, right? And so the idea of being buried is very important. I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me real quick. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you might want to mark that down, he is a new creature, and the old things pass away, and behold, new things have come. There's the old thing, like the old man being buried, and we're talking about that new creature that comes out of that water grave of baptism. But did you also know that the Bible describes our relationship with God as a marriage? Did you know that? And that we are married to Christ. David and I celebrated last week our 46th anniversary. Now, she did not know I was going to do this. I'm probably going to get a lot of trouble. So I want to go home with somebody else, you know. She said, first thing she said before I said anything, she goes, you're not putting the pictures of us up there, are you? I didn't say anything, did I? But 46 years ago, we walked down the aisle after saying I do and making our commitments and exchanging our vows. And from that day forward, nothing was the same again. We might look the same, we even act a lot of the same, but our lives change. When you're shaking your head, no, it don't look the same. But our lives change forever after that moment. The old way of life was done, and it became a new life for us. By the way, you see that little smile on my face? Because I was thinking, I'm going to take this cake and I'm going to smash her because I know she would do that to me. Little did I know that I just married the queen of all practical jokers. And I'm glad I didn't do that because she would have dumped the whole cake on me, I'm sure. But when we walked out of that church building, we were totally different. The old Rick is gone. The old Debbie's gone. And we became new as a couple. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, listen to it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Paul is describing something greater, a relationship greater than marriage itself, but something that's unique only between you and your God. Only you can experience this with Jesus Christ. And it's a unique relationship that we all experience when we're baptized into Christ. Paul is describing one's life with the Lord. Listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's how it should be translated from the Greek, a new creation. You see, Paul is talking about something different than what the world can ever experience. They don't understand what it's like to really be in Jesus. So they don't understand the relationship. Just like if you've never been married, you don't know what it's like. But once you get married, it's totally different. Your life really changes. And the same thing's true of burying the old man and bringing up the new. Christians are still people. We're no different when it comes to our looks and mannerisms. But we take a drastic change. You see, there's a difference between the word created, and I don't like to use that particular word in our context because that's not what Paul meant. He meant creation. And creation has reference to change. They see what God does to us is so unique and different that I can't even describe it in words. I don't understand the power. I don't understand really all the power of the Word of God. But he says, I made changes in your life that you'll never, ever experience. We become a new creation. The old is gone and the new person. You always say this, don't you? We are a work in progress. And we are a work in progress. You see, Christianity is a lifetime commitment, but it's a lifetime change. And I don't know all the changes, how God does it, but we do make changes. Though the outer man is decaying, now listen to this, yet the inner man, the soul man, is being renewed day by day. The word renew means to renovate. Have you ever renovated anything? A house? Well, renovation means that you make changes, but it's still the same, but it made changes. And what God is saying is, I have a way. I have a way to change your life for the better. Again, I don't understand that change as much as I see it. But the old man is buried, he said, and a new creation is being taken place. So therefore, people of the world don't understand that. So how does this change take place? Well, go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we find that Paul makes a comparison between the relationship of a marriage, a husband and wife, to that of Christ and the church. In chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 22. Verse 22. Wives, be subjected to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is also the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be of their own husbands in everything. Paul is describing a relationship between Christ and the church, and he said, we're like that. We're married to Christ, and once we've been baptized, the old man's put away, we are a new creation in God, and now we have a unique relationship, like a marriage relationship. And therefore, it's unique and it's different. Debbie and I were the same people that walked into that church building and the same people when we walked out. But things changed drastically. Our relationship. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. See, two important factors here. Without God and not being baptized and burying that old man, you don't have a relationship with God. And you're not in his household. That's a fact. That's what Paul's teaching. So the old man has to be buried first in order to experience the new. Correct? Our relationship with God has changed through baptism. It's kind of like the ceremony, if you want to call it, that changes. And when you go through that ceremony of baptism, that's when the changes take place. Listen to what he says in Romans 6, verse 3. Baptize into Christ Jesus. Into Christ. Listen to this one. Galatians 3:27. For all of you who have were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You have to get into Christ. And that's where you become a new creation. That's where the power is at. That's where the changes come. And you really don't experience that until you baptize and bury the old man. Then you become a new creation. That's exactly what it has reference to. Well, what changes? Number one, your status changes. Correct. When Debbie and I entered into that chapel or that church building, before we said, I do, we were single. I did whatever I wanted to. I bought whatever I wanted to. I bought 6 cars. I love cars. I wasted a lot of money on cars. I really did. I just did whatever I wanted. Debbie was single. She could do whatever she wanted. But the moment we said, I do, and the moment that we gave and changed our vows, and when we walked out of that church building, we didn't walk out the same. I was no longer single, and she was no longer single. And we had to change a lot of our thoughts and ideas, our desires around each other. It's no longer like I and me, but become we and us. And our decisions and life centered around both of us. The same thing is true with Christ. When you bury the old man and you come up anew, you have just made a commitment to God that you're willing to make decisions in life centered around not you, but around the Lord. And you start changing the way you think and the way you act because now you're married to the Lord. Romans 6, turn your Bibles back there. Let's look at verse 3 and 7. I think this is so important for us to understand the nature of the commitment and the baptism that we're doing. Verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism to death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too should walk a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old self, did you catch that? The old man was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we're no longer slaves to sin. Now verse 7 says, for if you have died with the Lord, you're free from sin. That death takes place when we are buried in the water grave of baptism and the old man is put away, buried. And the new man comes forth from the grave of the water grave of baptism. Isn't that beautiful when you think about that? Something different. You're not the same. For he who has died is free from sin. You know what I love about that? I don't know about you, but I love spring. You know why I love spring? Because spring opens up with new life. You see all these trees start blooming, and the flowers are blooming, and just the spring is there, and it's like starting all over again, right? Winter kills you. It's just so dark and gloomy, and everything's dead, and there's no leaves, no flowers. I think that's why God gave us spring, to appreciate life more. Do you realize that when you were baptized, every one of us, we were a totally new creature when we came out of that water. There's not a sin in us. All the sins we ever committed for our lifetime are put away. They're gone. And you really are like a newborn baby in the hands of the Lord. You really are. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Again, I want you to notice when it comes to a relationship of burying the old man and being established as a new creature in the Lord. Look at verse 12 of Colossians 2. And I want you to see the difference of your relationship with God when you're baptized. Verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through the glory of the faith and the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, uncircumcised of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of all our sins. Did you catch that? We're now what? Alive. We were dead. In the eyes of God, you were not alive. You're lifeless. But when you were baptized into his son, you became alive. And every sin you ever committed was completely gone. And so that's the new life that we enjoy after baptism. Now, why? I think 1 John chapter 3 tells us why, because the Bible says, because Jesus came to take away sin and to take away death, which are the works of Satan. And so the idea is that what the Bible teaches us is that once we're baptized into Christ, that old man is gone. It's never going to be the same again. You'll never be the same again. You know why you'll never be the same again? Because you are a new creature in Christ. All your sins are completely gone. And now you have a different relationship with the Lord. And that's important. You now have eternal life. You know, we look at funerals of the end of all things. We look at death and say that's the end. And true in sense of this life, but it's the beginning of a new life. We look at baptism sometimes and say, well, that's the end. I've done my chore. I did what God wanted me to do. He commanded me to be baptized, and that's it. No, baptism is just the beginning of a new life. And so is death for a Christian. Because Jesus promised in that new relationship with him that he's going to give you a purpose to live. And that's eternal life. If you're not in Jesus, if you've never been baptized into Jesus Christ, you don't have that new life in him. And you don't have the hope of eternal life. Listen to what he said. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. No one else. It's not in Buddha. It's not in Joseph Smith. It's not in the Pope. It's not in Rick Billingsley. It's only found in the Son of God. And then grace is given to us for that new life. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Again, 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What makes that new life so unique is that, yes, I'm still the same person. Yes, I'm going to sin. But the neat thing about my relationship with God is the grace of God, and I can hang on to that grace. And I can ask God to forgive me, and he's willing to forgive me. That grace doesn't stop at baptism, people. That grace continues to the time that we die or Christ comes again. But it is conditional. We have to seek that grace still, right? And ask God to forgive us of our sins. Don't deceive yourself thinking, well, you know, I'm baptized now. When you come out of that water, great baptism, you'll never lie again, you'll never cheat again, you never have bad thoughts. That's not true. Christianity is a lifetime change. And you're going to do things that are wrong, and we'll see that in a few minutes. But the idea is that when you mess up, and when you do those things wrong, and you turn back to God, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's part of new life, man. You have the grace of God. Listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Now, he's talking to Christians here. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, listen to this. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We like to limit that word redemption to only baptism. No, that's not the case. That redemption continues throughout your whole life as a child of God. And then salvation comes through the Lord. The word salvation, I want you to listen to what he says. That they also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation is twofold. The forgiveness of sins, but also eternal life. And that's only found in Jesus. Baptism is the ceremony that puts us into our Lord. And we go from a status of being lost to the status of being changed, being saved. We have a different outlook. During marriage, we make commitments, don't we? We exchange our vows for better, for worse, for rich or poor, to death do us part. When you're single, and I was single, I didn't really think about anyone or anyone else but myself a lot. I thought about what I wanted to do, what I like to do, what pleases me. But man, did that ever change when I got married. And that's the same way life goes as a Christian. You see, not only does your status change with God, but your outlook on life is totally different. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Now this time, I want you to look at verses 11 to 12. After you've been baptized into Christ, listen to what he says. Even consider yourself to be dead to sin. That's the relationship, but aligned to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, since you have that relationship, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you might obey its desires. Do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be a master over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. You know what that means? I have to look at life from a different standpoint. Not what pleases me, but what pleases God. Go to Colossians. Now, this is Paul talking to the Christians who have already been risen with the Lord. And listen to what he says. This is important. Set your mind. Now, he's talking about those already, verse 1, who've been risen in baptism with the Lord. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For your life has died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you are to be revealed in glory. Therefore, consider yourself members of this earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God will come on sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked, and when you lived in them. You see the past tense? The old man's gone. But now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with the evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Did you catch that? since you laid aside the old self with evil practices and have put on the new self, who is in being renewed. There's that little word again, renovation. You're being changed on a daily basis. It's hard to find out how all those changes take place, but they do. To a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You know what our desires is now? Our outlook in life is, I'm here for one reason, to be more like God every day of my life. The old man is gone. The new man's on. You're now a new creation in God. God's taking you and is molding and shaping you into an image adaptable for heaven. Isn't that beautiful? The man lives in Christ in the church. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verses 22 to 24. I love this again because it goes to show how this new relationship changes our outlook on life. Just as much as Deb and I, when we said, I do 46 years ago, and we walked down that aisle and walked out of the church building and became husband and wife, a lot of changes took place. The relationship has changed now, and so is our outlook on life. Notice verse 22. This is important, chapter 4. That in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed, I love that word again, renewed, renovated in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Did you catch it again? In reference to your former manner of life, that's the old self. He said, you lay aside the old self, and guess what? You put on the new, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. That's what happens when we're baptized in Christ. Right? Galatians chapter 5, turn your Bibles there. I want you to look at verse 16 through 26. We oftentimes read this passage, but I don't think we ever acquaint it with our baptism and our relationship with God. Verse 16, listen to what he says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Catch that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are these: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousings, things like these of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guess who he is talking to? Christians, the new creatures in Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Of such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the old man, with its passions and desires, the old man. And we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So that the old things that you had desired in the past no longer rule your life. You have to make the changes. Now, those belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and his passions and desires. The old man is buried, and the new man, a new creature, is now in God. So, the God of the new creation, God makes creations out of his people. When I think about the word creation, I can't help but go back about the universe, how God took a formless earth and he was able to mold and shape that earth into being a place that we could live and brought order and established that earth. People, I was a lot like that earth before I was baptized. The only meaning I had in life was, I want what I want. I lived the way I want. I did what I want to do. But when I made that commitment, and I was buried in a water grave of baptism, I changed. And the changes are still taking place today because we are a work in progress. We are. The old is buried, and we become new. Listen to this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, that's talking about physical bodies, as a living holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and be not conformed to this world. Why? Because this world has nothing to offer you. If, as long as you stay in the world, you're not a new creation. As long as you stay in the world, you're still the old man living in this world and no hope. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. I love that again, that word. Do you ever notice how many times that word's used in the Bible? Renewed of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Before and after baptism. Before, you're lost. No hope. You're dead in your sins. You're not alive with God. But you're also separated from God. And you had no hope. And you were still in your sins. But notice, after sins are washed away, that's that new creation, you're now in Christ where salvation lies. And now you become part of the church with the saints, a new relationship with people. And the last point is, you have the hope of heaven. I don't know what's going to happen with what ceremony we're going to have with our sister-in-law, but she was a Christian. And that gives you hope. It gives you hope in life. My question for you this morning, will you become a Christian today? Will you think about these things? Would you be willing to make the commitment to bury the old man and become a new creation in God? My next question is, how can you not? How can you sit there and not respond, knowing the greatness that awaits you and the life that you can have? You'll never find it in yourself. And you'll never find it in the world. If you're not a child of God, I bid you come and sing a song of encouragement.